Do I have everybody's attention now?
Now it's time for Jason Martin and Vol for Life Ramon Foster.
Powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors.
Together, they are J-Mart and Ramon on 104.5 The Zone.
Hour number two of the program. Welcome. Wherever you happen to be, we're in Dixon. 11th annual Golf for a Cure. To benefit Fight DMD. A fight we can all believe in. Jason Martin, Ramon Foster with you at Ramon Foster at J-Mart Radio. We're at J-Mart and Ramon. We're about to have a logo pretty soon.
Yes,
we're excited about that. We're seeing some things popping through. Mike Heath, he'll pop through. About 15 minutes from right now, you don't want to miss that, obviously. We'll get you all set for Titans and Jags, which we're doing all show long. Golf for a Cure, 11th annual. As part of the Fighting Duchenne Foundation, the Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, Monroe Carroll Jr. They've done so much, honestly. If you go and you actually look at FightDMD.com and what they have done, what Terry Marlin has done, and this board of directors, it's pretty daggone impressive.
Yeah.
Just all of the things that you just can't give up on stuff like this.
No.
It's like, yeah, right now there is no cure. So that's why we're here. We're going to help them fund it. We're going to do all that we can. So get out here. There are different starts today, 8 and noon. And it's a nice day.
It's starting to
turn out a little bit. It was a little chilly when we got here, Mom, but it's a little early.
Yeah.
It actually felt like towards the end of September. We're kind of getting there. Next week's my one-year anniversary. That kind of hit me last night. And I was like, it's a good thing I have like 3 or 4 things sprinkled around the house that hopefully Abby hasn't found yet.
There we go. Well, my guy's a planner, man. You will not drop the ball on this one, okay?
Well, the good news is, you know, we have devices now that'll keep us, they'll keep things there.
Don't be that guy, okay? Don't be that guy that used that excuse that you forgot or you need your devices. It's got to be ingrained in you, Jason.
Yeah, it is ingrained in me. But then I always have like that moment where, have you ever driven off and then gone back to your house because you're like, I'm not sure I locked the door.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, every time you did lock the door.
It
even happened to me again this morning. So it's just that moment where it's just like, are we sure it's the 22nd of September? I need to go double check this again for the 7th time today.
Once again, don't be that guy, okay? I hate to keep saying that, but you're going to end up on the wall and you're going to be trending if you do forget that.
Gardner Minshew last year started 12 games. He was 6-6. 60% completion percentage, 21 touchdowns, 6 interceptions.
Yeah.
He seemed to me to trail off down the stretch a little bit. And that's where I started to think, okay, he's not a long-term answer.
As far as his ceiling being reached already.
Yeah, it's just kind of like the league kind of caught up to him. He was the very definition of a game manager.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like those stats are outrageous or anything like that, but I've seen a lot worse.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's a guy that seems to be able to get the job done. And, you know, you ask the question, is he a long-term starter? What we're looking at right now is you have a guy coming out next year and Trevor Lawrence, okay? And as of right now, if everything's slated to go the way it should, there should be an NFL draft, and he will probably be the number one overall pick.
Yeah, it'd be good to see him in a Jets uniform with a new head coach.
Exactly. And so you got to look at yourself. The second I think I'm looking at a 24/7 sports, just an early mock draft situation. I think more than anything is just the top prospects. And the next guy on that list is Ja'Marr Chase. So you got to ask yourself, are you going to go with the guy that you need or the best available guy in the draft? And I think, if you're going to look at as far as what your franchise is slated to be, we saw what a young Joe Burrow has done in 2 weeks with no preseason. Meaning, if you're trying to build your organization to last, to be on the forefront of this NFL shield, then you need a very solid quarterback. And it's no slight to Gardner Minshew. It's just the fact that, hey, if I got an opportunity to get a guy that's going to last me nowadays 15 years, you know, put him in the state of Florida, being able to play for a long time, and Trevor Lawrence, then I think I still make that move. You can't get caught up into your emotions and saying, hey, I love you, Minshew. I do. And so that way we're going to go get a wide receiver. No, you go get Trevor Lawrence. It's sad to say, but that's just how it goes unless this guy wins the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got a chance to get a once-in-a-lifetime quarterback, you go get a once-in-a-lifetime quarterback. I'm of the opinion that you draft a quarterback every year until you get one.
Because like if you the Browns?
Right. Well, you have to commit to somebody sometime.
Yeah.
But it's got to be that right somebody.
Yeah.
And if you just keep picking the wrong person, then that's a you problem that probably you're the one that needs to be picked. Somebody else needs to pick your job. But if you don't have a quarterback, it doesn't matter. Like,
no.
So much of this stuff does not matter if you don't have a quarterback. You look at that Rams team and all the money that they paid.
Yep.
Goff wasn't good last year. And so where did they go? They went precisely nowhere.
Nowhere.
But you can get away with, you can create margin for error if you have a great quarterback.
And if you look at this division also, you got to look at the fact, okay, look what Houston has. I know, Indy has an older quarterback, but they're going to be in that, they're probably going to be in the running for trying to find their franchise guy also. And Tennessee's found their guy. They're stable. If Jacksonville want to make it happen, I think they have to go after Trevor Lawrence if everything is pointing in that direction. If he doesn't happen to use this year as just a practice year for him, which I think he comes out as beneficial for him to come out next year, you got to go. You have to go get him. I'm sorry, but
Minshew's going to get paid somewhere probably.
Yeah.
If he plays like this, he's going to get paid somewhere.
Yep.
But if you're in a position to take Trevor Lawrence and Gardner Minshew as your quarterback, you probably have to make that move. I mean, he was 19-20 last week, 173, 3 touchdowns, no picks, pretty much a flawless game.
Yeah.
I mean, he was perfect, but he threw for 173 yards.
I know, but he's efficient.
Yeah, that's the thing. But that still reads to me as game manager. I don't think Gardner Minshew is a backup quarterback.
No.
I don't think he's a Super Bowl quarterback or a major playoff successful quarterback. Like, when you think of great quarterbacks, it's the same way I think about Hall of Famers. If you have to think, probably not.
Not it.
And so when you say Peyton Manning, okay, well, he's a Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
When you say Tom Brady, he's a Hall of Famer.
Drew Brees.
When you say Ben Roethlisberger, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
When you say Drew Brees, he's a Hall of Famer. When you say Phillip Rivers, you
He'll
stop
get
for
in.
Just a
yeah.
second. But you do stop for just
yeah,
a second.
You do.
So when you're just thinking about starting quarterbacks in this league, guys that you know you can just kind of hitch your wagon to, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson, Brees is still there, obviously. Aaron Rodgers is still there. Matt Ryan.
Russell Wilson,
maybe the most underrated player in the league somehow.
Easily.
And then you say Gardner Minshew, and it's, we don't know enough, first of all, but based on what we see kind of a tier three-ish kind of starter that can win.
Yep.
And that you probably would want in your locker room based on every indicator, but he's probably not the guy, eventually, you move on from Tony Dungy to John Gruden to win that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If you feel like that's what you had to do, and I'm just throwing that. I think Dungy could have won that Super Bowl as well.
Yep.
But there are examples where guys get you to a step, and then you let them go, and you bring in Steve Kerr instead of Mark Jackson, and you win the NBA championship in Golden State.
Alex Smith.
Absolutely.
Bring in Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, Alex Smith had the highest passer rating in the league. He was like 104.7, and then they traded him away.
Yeah.
Because they knew what they had sitting on the bench.
And everybody looked at that sideways like, who's Pat Mahomes? What do you mean?
Right.
Why will you get rid of Alex Smith? Well, now we see why. When you have, again, that quarterback, and we're speaking about Gardner Minshew right here, is he a franchise quarterback? Because the Titans got to play him, and at least for this year, they'll see him 2 times. If they're smart, they go after the franchise quarterback who's slated to come out next year, and I think it's just smart business. It's really smart business.
I mean, if you're going to be as efficient as he was this past week, then I actually think the Alex Smith comparison for Minshew is pretty apt.
Yeah.
Alex Smith is a very capable player
who's very much
absolutely not a backup quarterback.
Team loves him.
Exactly.
Team loves him. He's a guy that you can get around. That'll probably get you double digit wins because he's done that. He's efficient. He keeps your organization afloat, and that's what we're running with right now with Minshew.
It's basically like it's gonna feel like he's underappreciated because he's gonna lose jobs in different spots for guys that are flashier, that are bigger names, and all this kind of stuff. It's really not that he's gonna be underappreciated. He's gonna be appreciated because he's gonna continually get opportunities to start, but he's never going to be that secure. He's not that elite guy.
You know who I can see him being? And if you know, Chase Daniels.
Hmm.
He's a guy that he's on team of. He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback right now. He's on the Super Bowl winning team. And I think right now he might be the highest paid backup, maybe behind Jacoby Brissett. I think Brissett's getting a double digit number. Heck, here's a guy in Chase Daniels right now who's able to get 7-8 a year just by holding the clipboard and being able to be thrown in the game and win you a few games here and there. So that there's nothing wrong with that. But in the sense of you trying to be a winning organization, heck, we saw what happened here with Tannehill and Mariota.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's no fault of anybody, and they have fans also. I think what Mariota could have done here would have been huge had everything gone well and he was healthy. But the fact that, you know, Tannehill came in and did his thing, you got to tip your hat and say, hey, this is a sport, but, hey, we're run by a business, and this is a business move for us that put us in a better situation.
No question. But I think if you're a Jacksonville fan today, you feel a lot better about your quarterback spot than you did when Foles was your starter.
Yeah.
And better, certainly, than when that other guy, Blake Bortles, was your starter as well. We're going to get a look at Minshew on Sunday. We'll ask Mike Keith what he thinks of Gardner Minshew. He'll be with us when we come back. We'll break down everything, Titans and Jags. We'll talk to him about the A.J. Brown situation, what it means to Vic Beasley. Was back at practice as a full participant yesterday. Whole lot of Titans talk. Coming up on the flip side, you don't want to miss it. It is 7:15 at JMart and Ramon on Twitter, 104.5 The Zone.
Tannehill and company start at their own 26. Here comes Henry 30, Henry 40, Henry 50, Henry Stiffard 40, 30, 20, 10, 5, end zone. Touchdown, Titans! Do you want some of that? Yes, you do. Derrick Henry, 74 yards to Peter.
Oh, yes. Take some of that.
Take some of that indeed. 722-1045 The Zone. Again, get you somebody who loves you like Dave McGinnis loves football. And it sounded like Mike Keith loved football as well. He's about to join us here in just a second. JMart and Ramon here on The Zone. That's where you find us on Twitter as well, at JMart and Ramon. He is Ramon Foster, hashtag VFL. We'll have VFL John Henderson, Big John,
yeah.
Third hour of the show. He'll give us the Jag perspective a little bit. I'm Jason Martin. He's at Ramon Foster. I'm at JMart Radio. We welcome in voice of the Tennessee Titans, Mike Keith, a couple of days before the home opener, and I put that in air quotes.
I know.
Because the fans won't be there until the second game. Mike, how are you?
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Yeah, good morning to you. I wanted to, I guess, mention this first because Gardner Minshew, 19 of 20, 173 yards, very efficient against the Colts. I looked at their defensive coordinator, Matt Eberflus, and he basically said they confused us. Our pass coverage was bad. We know it was bad based on those numbers, but looking at Minshew this week, probably a lot more in-depth, Mike, what do you see in the youngster other than just seemingly being a really likable guy and certainly talented enough to win a football game against a good team?
I see Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden is the offensive coordinator in Jacksonville now. My first look at Jay Gruden came when I was doing arena football, and he, of course, has the majority of his football background in arena football before he came to the NFL. And he did a really good job in Cincinnati as the offensive coordinator with Andy Dalton. And I think you see some of the same traits in Gardner Minshew, not the biggest quarterback. I mean, he's only 6'1".
Yeah.
So they get rid of the ball. They throw it to everybody. They throw it every direction. And that's what arena football was all about, is don't hold the ball. Do not hold the ball. The ball is coming out. It's why Kurt Warner ended up being such a good NFL quarterback in the St. Louis Rams offense and then for the Arizona Cardinals. Quick decision-making, balls out. We're not going to sit and hold it and take bad plays. And, you know, when he held the ball, he was sacked 4 times. But normally in that ball game, which I had a chance to really go back and watch yesterday in depth, that ball is coming out. And it's just Jay Gruden doing what he does, that's using every weapon, putting pressure on the defense and taking pressure off his quarterback. He is a perfect offensive coordinator for this player. Perfect.
Yeah. So we're moving forward also with Gardner Minshew. And the question, so there was a video that popped up on social media, and he was interviewed, it had to be in college or soon after college, that said, you know, he said that the Titans was one of his favorite team or his favorite team because he was from Mississippi and Steve McNair was his favorite player. Do you see a little bit of that in there? And also, do you see him having a little bit of an edge being able to go against the Titans in Tennessee, considering he said he was a fan?
Yeah, he's from Brandon, Mississippi, which is just east of Jackson. It's a 6-hour drive from here. And, yeah, I mean, I get it. The whole Steve McNair thing makes total sense with him, with the swagger that's in his game. I think it's every Mississippi quarterback, right? I don't know what it is about these guys, but they all have this confidence, this swagger, this toughness. He's not like Steve in terms of overall style because he just doesn't have Steve's size. Steve's one of the bigger 6'2 athletes I've ever been around. You know, he normally weighed, I think they said 230. It was probably heavier than that. This young man is not that big, but he is good size. He is a good athlete. He can move around in the pocket. And, Ramon, he has the swagger. He has the toughness. He thinks he's good. Just like Brett Favre, just like Steve McNair. And it's not that you have to say it, but you have to play it. And this is what this guy does. He plays like he believes he's good. And when you have a quarterback like that, guys follow it. Guys follow that sort of swagger. He certainly has that.
A.J. Brown, Mike, bone bruise. Ramon, we talked about it off the top of the show. Ramon had to deal with that. They're certainly different from individual to individual. But one topic that we have mentioned on this program earlier this week is Khalif Raymond didn't have a great night on Monday. He strikes me more as a wide receiver 4/5 instead of a 4 that then can move up to be a 3. So if A.J. Brown, and we don't know for sure, but if A.J. Brown's unable to go, just how much does that change the kind of nucleus of what this wide receiver core does, and how much less confident do you feel with everybody having to step up in a different way?
Well, I don't worry so much about the roles because Arthur Smith has ways of making other people fit different roles. And I think the versatility of this offense and the ability of this quarterback to be versatile, I think that fits well in these types of situations. Now, it ain't good. I mean, if he can't play, I mean, he's a really good player. Speaking of talented guys from Mississippi, I mean, AJ's special. And so if you don't have a special player, then that certainly you're not as good. And that's what the Titans are going to deal with if he is unable to go. But will they find other ways to use people? Will they be able to, you know, to switch in and out in different roles? Yeah. They will, because they have versatility in their tight end core. If Darrington Evans is back, they have versatility in the backfield. You know, they're all different ways to solve problems. And fortunately, Arthur Smith is a really smart guy who I bet was a really good problem solver when it came to math in school.
So if we don't have AJ this weekend, can we expect more from the tight ends, or were we going to supplement this hidden offense? Because having AJ on the field means something, at least as far as the defense is concerned, because he's a threat. Will it be solely on Derrick Henry and the offensive line, or what else do you see coming out of the tight end room?
Yeah, I mean, that's what stands out to me is you've got Janu. I mean, Janu lined up against Houston last year at tailback and carried 57 yards. So, you know, he's capable. They've got Pruitt. They've got Firkser. Certainly they have Humphreys. You mentioned Khalif Raymond. Corey Davis had a very good game the other night. This young receiver, Westbrook Akina, I think there's something to him. You have Batson, who you could call up from the practice squad. You have Hollister, who you could call up from the practice squad. They've got options. But, I mean, is it going to be more on Henry? I don't know if there's going to be more on Henry, but if the Titans are going to be successful, it's always going to be somewhat on Henry. You know, That's who they are. That's the root of what they do. That's the base off which they want to build. And you know Jacksonville is going to be putting 16 guys in the box to stop him. I mean, you know that's coming. So you're going to have to be ready to take advantage of whatever opportunities that you get. Yeah, I mean, if AJ can't go, I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, there's no denying it, but you still got to play the game.
Mike, I think there's probably nuance to this. There's nuance to everything, even though you try to not find that a lot of times in sports radio or in social media. But we have been debating this week this idea of talent or culture. And I know you'd like to have both be right. But that 2017 Jags team that was loaded with talent, they didn't seem to mesh all that well together when things went bad. Like the chemistry went wrong and they didn't seem to want to be there, didn't want to be around one another. This team in that one game we saw last week, this feels a little bit more like a team. And I heard Coach Mack say that a couple of days ago on our airwaves. Which one would you lean towards more? The team that wants to play with one another or the one that just has a bunch of talent despite the chemistry concerns?
I think the team that wants to play together, because you see, I mean, we went down there 2 years ago for a September game, and we were in bad shape at the quarterback position. Marcus Mariota couldn't feel his fingers. We had all these injuries at different spots. Realistically, had no chance in that game. They're coming off the AFC Championship game. And what they preached at that point is they said, hey, get them into the fourth quarter and you can beat them because we're going to be tougher. We're going to be more together. And I think that's what Dave Caldwell and Doug Marrone have sought to fix down there now that Tom Coughlin's gone, is they've gotten rid of some guys who weren't as team-oriented. Do you miss the talent? Well, of course you miss the talent, but at the same time, how they beat Indianapolis the other day was they hung together. Not that – and Indianapolis made mistakes. It doesn't have anything to do with their culture. They just didn't play a good game. But – Jacksonville doesn't win that game in 2018 or 2019. They just don't, because they wouldn't have hung in there the way this team did it. Very impressive performance. They're better on paper, or they're better than what some people think they are on paper, because they have some really good young players. And I think they've got their culture right now, because it's not me, me, me. It's about the Jacksonville Jaguars once again.
Mike, you're in the business of giving the people what they want, the fans what they want. That's what football is. That's what the NFL is, and that's what sports is as a whole. Give us an insight on what it means being able to have fans back. What is it, by October 4th? That's huge for you, and I know you'll be able to give them what they want. But that's got to be exciting, right?
Oh, sure, Ramon. It's about energy. The strange thing the other night, and I said this on your show Tuesday morning, was just the lack of energy. It was incredible to not have the fans and to not have that sense of anticipation and excitement and then reaction to big plays. You know, we leave the windows open with Titans Radio no matter what the weather is when we're in a booth that allows that, because we want to feel what the stadium feels like. Because you sense there are certain big moments in a game by how the crowd sets it up for you and or how they react. So to have them back, I mean, you heard them in the Kansas City-Houston game last Thursday. What were there, 15,000 fans? And yet you could tell the reactions at different times that gave that game some energy. The game in Denver the other night had no energy outwardly from the standpoint of that natural feel of the crowd. So yeah, I'm elated. That news yesterday was absolutely fantastic to me. We'll play this one without fans. We'll go to Minnesota and play without fans. And then we get into October and we start to get the real thing back. It's also a sign of progress too, which is something we all need in this society. I think football is really a good thing to have back. I'm excited about high school, excited about the SEC starting back up. I think it's if done safely, it is a tremendous diversion for folks during this tough time and kind of a feeling of normalcy that makes a big difference. From a selfish standpoint, though, it helps me a lot to have people in the building.
Mike, Vic Beasley, full participant yesterday in practice. What are we looking at here? I mean, we had heard kind of yesterday morning, hey, it's all about his health and his comfort level. Then we see that yesterday. That seems like a real positive development from my vantage point.
It is. And, you know, Derek Roberson getting back too. So you've gained some snaps potentially to hopefully not have to play Harold Landry every single play. I don't know if either one of those guys can go this week. If one of them could just give you some limited snaps, the question becomes, so you have the 48 inactives with the 8 required offensive line, or the 48 actives, let me say this properly, with the 8 required offensive linemen. And so do your numbers pan out that you could keep one of those guys up to give you some limited number of snaps? So it's not only about their health, it's about the health at other spots. And you've mentioned throughout the course of the week a couple of the injuries, and you're talking about AJ, and, you know, what do you have to do to get the right 48 to be able to complete the game? The good news from the Titans standpoint is they're not going to have to tip their hat as far as the roster towards the weather, because it's going to be truly fall on Sunday. And that may be the first day of fall, either Sunday or Monday. I can't remember which. But it's going to feel like fall. And last year when we played the game in week 2, we set a record for heat. Played the Indianapolis Colts, and it was the hottest game ever at Nissan Stadium. They don't have to keep extra linemen up for this game because they're worried about the big guys falling out in the heat. And that may help your numbers and may give you a chance to play one or both of those guys some limited snaps.
I have one more thing I really wanted to ask you, and this is just when I get a broadcaster I have so much respect for, I like to ask when broadcasting things happen. Last night, Joe Buck finds out he's going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
At halftime, and it's just a really cool moment. And Joe has, look, so some people are critical of Joe. Maybe there's an arrogance there or something that comes across inauthentic. I've always been a huge fan of his, and an even bigger fan, obviously, of his father. But as a broadcaster that takes it so seriously like you do, Mike, I was just curious what your thoughts on that moment was, and just how long and how successful and how many wonderful big-time events Joe Buck's been able to call through his career.
I met Joe Buck when he was 25, and he got the job at Fox when they got the NFL. And that was a huge deal at that moment. And, you know, in talking with him at that point, he had mostly done minor league baseball. He had done some things with his dad. And it was he was somewhat sensitive about the fact that people perceived that he was getting that opportunity because he was Jack Buck's son. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But he's a great broadcaster. He is a great announcer. Is he as good as his dad? I don't know. His dad, one of the best at anything. But is he in his dad's class? You bet he is. You bet he is. And he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. For that moment to happen the way they did it, for Troy Aikman to be a part of it, and for him to get this sort of recognition at such an early age. I mean, Joe's 50 or 51, I think. Good for him, deserves it, has worked hard, has taken his lumps at times. And I think when you see somebody get that, have that happen to them in that way, it's extra special. So I'm very happy for Joe Buck and feel like he was a very deserving choice.
Mike, we appreciate it.
Yes.
You're our Hall of Famer, my friend.
Definitely.
Looking forward to hearing the call on Sunday and soon maybe actually being able to visit that stadium.
Well, yeah, it's going to happen soon. We're looking for 2-0. It's hard to believe how rare 2-0 is in the NFL, and 2-0 going to Minnesota would be huge.
Have a good weekend, Mike.
Okay, guys, take care.
That is Voice of the Tennessee Titans, Mike Keith. 11 years, I believe it has been,
wow,
since the Titans started 2-0.
That's a big thing, you know, going into this weekend. And we got to discuss on who do we lean on to get to 2-0? Because, like you said, isn't it 1-1? Some teams are satisfied with that because, hey, we at least got something going. And they're in a good position playing this Jacksonville team, if we're being honest about it also.
On Twitter, you can find us at JMart and Ramon. Photoshop of us as Crockett and Tubbs is making the rounds right now. We appreciate that. 11th Annual Golf for a Cure. We really appreciate Fight DMD and FightDMD.com. That's the website you want to go to. Help them. Help us support Duchenne Research. And come out here and see us if you're out here for one of these starts, whether it's 8 or whether or not it's lunchtime. Come on out. I've seen some people popping on the course right now. They're set to go. It's warming up a little bit. It's going to be a nice day out here for a wonderful, wonderful cause. They've already done so much great work, and we want to make sure that we put them in position to do as much as possible. Terry and this group, just outstanding. You want to talk about going 2-0? I'm about going 16-0. That's what Fight DMD is trying to do. No cure yet, but everything short of that, they have already accomplished, and we are thrilled to be a part of what they're doing. It's 7:41. We'll be right back here on 104.5 The Zone. .748, 104.5 The Zone, and Trust Matters. Count on All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. Professional garage door installation and repair from a family owned and operated business. Visit All Four, the number four, allfourseasonsgarages.com/Nashville to learn more. They power this program. They power J Mart and Ramon.
Yeah.
On Twitter at J Mart and Ramon. Our thanks to the voice of the Tennessee Titans, Mike Keith. Jason Martin, Ramon Foster with you. He's at Ramon Foster. I'm at J Mart Radio. He's a Vol. We'll welcome in another Vol, Big John Henderson. Next hour of the program. You certainly don't want to miss that. But we were talking during the break, Ramon. By the way, we are out here in Dixon. We should tell you again that we are here for an awesome cause and thrilled to have had to make an early drive today to be here to support these guys at Fight DMD and FightDMD.com. Terry and this group are just the best of us. You look at some things, you're just like, I wish that I had that in me to do that as hard as they have done this for such a long period of time. This is the 11th annual Golf for a Cure. Unbelievable
consistency too. Yes. That's one thing you got to appreciate about something like this. It's not just a 1 or 2 year thing. This is 11 years of being able to do this. That says they're here to stay. They're saying they're doing the right thing and they have the support of the community for a great cause, man. I'm glad we're here to see this.
Yeah. No cure for Duchenne muscular dystrophy, but they have raised over $1 million. The research is well underway at the Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt, but always in need of more. So go to FightDMD.com. That's the website. You can find out all of the treatments and all of the new experimentation and just scientific advances that they have helped kind of contribute to and make possible. We can beat this thing. And so that's what we want to do. And we're glad to be out here representing 104.5 The Zone and just being a part of what FightDMD.com has been doing for such a long period of time. Joe Buck, Hall of Fame. We were talking about it during the break. I had to ask Mike Keith about that because he always has such insight when it comes to broadcasting. And Joe Buck's always been controversial because for some reason a fairly large, loud group of people don't like Joe Buck. And I've never really understood that.
Yeah.
I don't think his voice is right for golf necessarily, but I think he's even found a way to tweak that. But in terms of baseball, World Series, like high-end baseball, and what he's done with the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's really good. And I thought that moment last night was just
awesome. It's good, man, because he's in a position where people respect, the right people respect what he's done. And, you know, I said this to you on the break. It's like, man, I'm a firm believer now, especially of all the losses we've had this year. And, of course, people experience personal losses and stuff. But give the people that you know and love their flowers while they're here.
That's a great
line. You know, Kobe leaving this the world the way we did with Chadwick Boseman, just a myriad of people this year that's, you know, gone for one way or the other. Like, give people their flowers. That can be simply as your mom, your dad, your family members, like somebody that's special to you. Call them and just let them know, hey, I appreciate you. And that's what happened with last night with Joe Buck, too. It's somebody or a group of people have an understanding. This guy is what we need in this sport. Yeah, you might not like him or you might not just be buddy-buddy with him, but the fact that you can say, hey, you've done something that we as a whole appreciate. Giving flowers to somebody that's special to you, don't do it when they're gone. You know, don't speak about it. Don't put them on your T-shirt or on your Facebook profile or a hashtag. No, celebrate people while they're here. And that's what happened last night with Joe Buck.
Yeah, I mean, he's nowhere near the end of his career.
No.
I mean, not even close.
No.
But he's getting honored now. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you see that on Twitter. It's the RIP and, oh, I love this guy. But you haven't ever spoken about him for 15 years. And this year has taught us a lot about taking inventory of what we have in our lives and who we have around us in our lives. And we've lost a lot of noteworthy people.
Yeah.
Just in the last month or two, we've lost a handful. You mentioned Chadwick Boseman, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. We lost John Thompson, the great Georgetown coach. We lost Lute Olson, the Arizona coach, both of them who had won a national championship at Arizona and Georgetown. We lost Cliff Robinson, the longtime NBA player.
Yeah.
We've lost musicians. We lost Kobe Bryant back in February. Yeah, that happened this year, folks. That's how long this year has been. That happened in February of 2020. So the idea of giving people flowers while they're here is that's a great line, first of all. But it's true. Let people that are around you know that they matter to you.
Yeah.
And know that you have not missed what they've done.
Yeah.
It's important.
And you know what? You telling that person, hey, I appreciate you, is going to feel just as good to you as it is to them. Because that appreciation goes both ways. The fact that whatever they've done for you, the recognition of how they made you feel and how you're going to make them feel is something that's not to be overshadowed, man. And that's one thing that we want to be able to highlight on this show with the people that we bring on, especially in the next hour. We bring on John Henderson as a guy that's needed to be celebrated. You know, the feel good moments that guys and just everybody's been able to give you over your lifetime. Think about what sports has helped you escape from. Or your parents, for that matter, what you've been able to escape from, those long days, those long practice sessions and whatnot. Hey, call somebody today that you appreciate and just hand them their flowers of appreciation. Say, hey, you know what? This is cool for me because of who you are to me. So I just thank you. And I'm a firm believer in that, especially this year.
Greystone Golf Club in Dixon. That's where we are. We've got another hour for you. Big John Henderson will join us next hour. 8 a.m. We're about to get that first shotgun start out here. Then there's another one coming up at 1 p.m. We're here alongside Fight DMD as we continue in this fight for a cure for Duchenne muscular dystrophy. What an awesome group. Go to that website. It's fightdmd.com. Hey, Shafe, back in the studio. Ramon, hey, man, I appreciate you guys. I got flowers for you guys.
Definitely.
I appreciate all that you have done. It's 754-1045 The Zone.